Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the one-on-one 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description of this episode. Now for the topic of today. Have you been told you need to remother yourself? That you need to reparent your inner child? And maybe you have no idea how to do that. I've definitely been there. I distinctly remember that moment when I was told to remother myself, to find the inner mother within me, to reparent my inner child. And I felt like laughing and crying at the same time. Laughing because I thought it had to be some kind of joke. And then crying when I realized that having been mothered in a very toxic way, I had no idea how to remother myself in a healthy way. Has this been your experience? If it has, you're not alone in this. Feel free to share your experience in the comments about this. I get questions on how to reparent yourself all the time. It is very okay not to know where to even start when we've got no healthy example in our life. So how do we reparent the inner child? What is the inner child anyway? The inner child is that part of you that is still 5, 6, 7 years old and still feels neglected, abandoned, unloved, still feels like they have to throw a tantrum to be noticed or that they have to ask permission to be themselves. The inner child is the child inside of you who needs you. Who needs you to offer the example and wisdom you didn't get from your own mother in your childhood. This part needs acknowledgement, needs to be seen, and also needs to be guided, as every 5-year-old would need, with loving discipline and understanding. When this does not happen, the inner child takes the driving seat and you find yourself being reactive, dysregulated and caught in a storm of thoughts and emotion which are not conducive or helpful. So now that we've got some clarity on what the inner child is, the next question is, how do you reparent the inner child? How do you remother yourself? As you've heard me say before, I always quote Dr. Gabor Mathur when speaking about the needs of a child, which are attachment and authenticity. Those are the two fundamental needs of a child. A healthy mother and healthy parents in general, emotionally healthy, I mean, like when I refer in this episode to a healthy mother, I'm talking about an emotionally available, emotionally regulated and healthy mother in that sense that gives the healthy example of how to relate with your emotions and that hasn't neglected you, abandoned. So the opposite of a narcissistic mother. So a healthy mother and healthy parents in general offer the child safe attachment and provide a safe environment for authentic self-expression of the child. Meaning with emotionally mature and available parents, the child does not ever question the safety of the attachment, the safety of the survival, because the attachment means survival. And so when the safety of the attachment is there, the child can play and experiment with expressing their needs authentically and be themselves and learn and develop their own identity. Unfortunately, this does not happen with emotionally immature parents, with emotionally unavailable parents, or with narcissistic parents. It definitely doesn't happen with a narcissistic mother. What happens with a narcissistic mother is that you likely learned patterns of suppressing your needs and your emotions, abandoning yourself, inner criticism, and self-judgment of yourself. So, what does reparenting yourself come down to? It comes down to meeting yourself and your needs. And this is the key. The episode could end here. This sentence here is actually the key. I want to say it again because it's so important. Reparenting yourself comes down to meeting yourself and your needs. Now, does that mean you need to turn into a selfish person who only thinks about her own needs? Doesn't that sound a bit narcissistic? Yes, it most definitely sounds narcissistic, and no, that is not what reparenting yourself means. It doesn't mean becoming a selfish person who only thinks about her own needs or his own needs. Meeting yourself and your needs is not about becoming selfish. It is about acknowledging yourself internally in a way that makes every part of you feel seen and welcome, just like a healthy mother would do with her child. We don't give in to the child's every need. Now, a child can say, I need 4 ice creams. And we know that that's not healthy. So a healthy mother won't just go with whatever a child needs, but it'll make the child feel safe and seen. As a narcissistic mother would answer, oh, you look at you stuffing yourself, you're so fat, you're gonna be ugly, you're gonna be blah blah blah, blah. And like, it goes on in an awful amount of criticism and put downs and horrendous things, or indulges the child every needs just so that she feels like she's a good mother, so ultimately going with her own needs. So none of that is healthy. We're not talking about indulging every need, but we're talking about acknowledging that those are there, making every part of you feels seen and welcome and safe to express. And that is the knot of the issue. We don't know how a healthy mother would parent her child because we haven't witnessed that. So how can we do this for ourselves? So an emotionally safe and available mother gives her child 2 things that are really important. The first one is attunement. And the second one is a safe, authentic self-expression. A healthy mother will tune into her child's needs and will offer a space where authentic self-expression in the child is safe and welcome. If your mother is narcissistic, you have by now probably come to face the fact that you're likely never to receive either of these from your mother. Your mother is most definitely not attuned to you, as she can only tune into her own needs. And you're not safe to be your authentic self around her. You've probably learned that by now. And this hasn't started now, actually, but it has started when you were a small child. So this means you need to give those things to yourself if you want to remother yourself. You need to start tuning into yourself to feel what your needs even are, because you mightn't even have a clue of what your actual needs are, and that is completely normal. Like if you're listening to this and going, well, I can tune in, but I have actually no idea what my needs are. And when I do try to tune in, it's like there's silence, there's void. I go blank. I have no idea. And that's okay, because there hasn't been the safety to even tuning into yourself. Your system doesn't know that that's even a safe thing to do. So it's going to require a few attempts. It's going to require a little bit of time, and then you'll start. No, you just keep tuning in, keep attempting tuning in, even learn what tuning in means. Takes a while, and then when you start actually getting it, you are going to start knowing what your needs are. It'll come. It takes a little while, but it'll come. So don't give up on that. So you need to start tuning into yourself to feel what your needs are, to feel what parts of you are feeling what in any given moment, to acknowledge yourself and take care of you, of yourself. And you need to offer yourself an internal safe space for your authentic self-expression to come true. Because very often, before our needs even get expressed to the outside world, so you've noticed that in this episode, I'm very much talking about internally, what's happening in your internal world, because that's where it all starts, really. Very often you start hearing advices on this kind of topic about what you should be doing in the external world. You know, or you should just speak your needs out loud. You should do things that are important to you and all of that. But the thing is, that's okay. I mean, that's not wrong. But that kind of comes afterwards. Otherwise, it's like, it's a shoot in the dark, not knowing what your needs even are. Because when we've grown up with a narcissistic mother, or both narcissistic parents, toxic parents, and all of that, we were never safe to actually even get in contact with what our needs are. So when we start this process, very often what I hear from clients, and I've been through that very much the same, is like, I don't even know what I need. How can I even express my needs, like per se, to my husband, for example, or to my friends or to my coworkers, or if I don't know what my needs even are? And that, if you found yourself in that situation, I totally get it. And also, the internal dialogue is very, very important, because if you have a voice inside you that is constantly telling you how bad you are, how inadequate you are, how not enough you are, how undeserving of love you are, how everyone is hating you and judging you, how you're doing it all wrong, and all of that, that voice is going to stop your authentic self-expression, because it's going to tell you that that's probably wrong, that whatever you think it's your authentic self-expression is not actually the right thing to do or to say, that you shouldn't be even feeling that way, that you should be doing better. And it just keeps going on and on and on like that all the time. Is that your experience? Does that resonate? Because it has definitely been my experience for such a long time. That inner voice that is constantly, constantly criticizing, constantly judging. And there is never that inner allowance to actually go, you know what? That's how I'm feeling today, and that's actually really okay. Not just rationally, because you know you're meant to be compassionate to yourself, but actually because you're accessing a part of you that's really, you know what? It's okay. It's actually okay to feel like this. Can you feel how nourishing that is? Has your entire body hearing these words gone, oh, yeah, feels good to just tell yourself, it's okay. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, you don't know your needs, it's okay. It's okay, my child, it's fine. That is actually what a healthy, emotionally healthy and available and safe mother says to her child. That's actually it. Is that energy? It's okay. That's mother energy in a nutshell. It's okay. And then she gives you a hug. That's it. I will never forget my daughter. My youngest was crying, and I didn't know for what reason. I didn't know what was wrong. And of course, not knowing what was wrong, I was concerned. And I was trying to talk to her. And my eldest daughter was sitting beside us. And she was like, Mom, all that is needed, it's a hug. And I did that. I just hugged my youngest. And she just needed to cry. And that was okay. I didn't need to fix it. I didn't need to talk to her. I didn't need to do anything else but be there for her, give her a hug, and tell her it's okay. So that is why what you're hearing me talk about today, and these three steps that I'm going to offer you on how to reparent your inner child, three steps to reparent your inner child, are all internal. From there, then you can go into all the external manifestation of what that means. And it's going to come, because when we start doing the work internally, then it does have a ripple effect on the outside. When you start actually feeling safe in understanding what your needs are, feeling allowed to have needs, then it'll come that you're going to start expressing them. It'll come. But if you don't even know what your needs are, you're never going to be able to express them. So you see why internally is so important. So what are the three steps to start reparenting yourself, to start remothering your inner child? Number one is talk. Number two is care. And number three is play. Talk, care, and play. Talk. This is how you talk to yourself. We spoke about the inner dialogue, yeah? So listen to that inner dialogue. Is it helpful? Is it harsh? Is there a tone of judgment in how you talk to yourself? Is there a tone of criticism? Are you putting yourself down all the time? This is where you listen to how you internally speak to yourself, and you learn to know when it is your inner critic voice, which is also could be called your toxic mother's voice speaking to you, or if it is a nourishing, loving voice. Very often it's going to be the first one. It's going to be not very nourishing. It's going to be actually very harsh, very judgmental, and quite a put down. Because we've learned that from our mothers. If we talk to ourselves internally the same way our mothers talk to us as we were children and then growing up, that is what we've learned. The patterns are there. So even if rationally you don't think you're doing it, that inner voice is still there doing that. And you know it in the way it makes you feel. So if it doesn't feel good and nourishing and empowering, then it isn't worth listening. Keep it really simple. I know there's like, I've had clients that have been in therapy for years and they're like, I'm just trying to see if it's such voice or if it's that voice or if the other voice. And they have 15 different categories of what voice. That's all really beautiful and amazing work. But it's also very intense and exhausting. There is like, you can split it into nourishing and non-nourishing, empowering and not empowering. If it ain't, if it's not empowering, if it's not nourishing, it's not worth listening to. That come from some pattern. So acknowledge it and then just don't listen to that story. Because it's not going to help. It's just not going to help. It does come down to what's helpful and what's not, really. And if it's not helpful, then why using a ton of your energy and time to follow that voice? So when you remother yourself, when you reparent yourself, start talking to you like you would have wanted your mother to talk to you, as opposed to how she did. For example, if you as a young child, well, maybe not very young, but like from the point where you started choosing your clothes, for example, your mother would criticize your choices constantly, telling you that you can't go out like that, or this looks ridiculous, or you couldn't match those, or you always dress so eccentrically, or whatever comment. When you're choosing your next outfit, just tell yourself that you're allowed to choose whatever the hell makes you feel good. Tell yourself you're looking great. Tell yourself this is so cool. Go for that outfit that makes you feel comfortable, but in a good way. Not comfortable as in, oh, you know, like that, I'm not going to get any criticism from anyone. Comfortable as in makes you feel comfortable. Again, it's a step-by-step process. It doesn't happen overnight. I've been through, I use this outfit example because that was one of the biggest things that I was criticized on all the time. All the time. God, my mother even just would tell me things like, oh, like, you know, the way your dress is like, I don't even want to say it. It was just really harsh. It was really, really harsh. Just in case it triggers someone that has been told the same. So anyways, she would throw away my clothes and tell me to go buy a new one and bring me shopping and then choose what to buy me. And so I really was not allowed to ever be myself and choose what I actually wanted, it took me years to come to terms with what I like. And it's still an ongoing process. I'm still going through it. I'm still figuring out. I'm 40 and I'm still figuring out what I like wearing. Every now and again, I go to my husband and go, you know what? I actually just realized that I really love this type of pants or this type of tops, or I love these types of colors. And it's like being a kid. It's going all the way back to being a kid and discovering something that you like for the first time. So it's okay to take time. But in every example that you might come up with, which is not, mightn't be clothing, whatever that is for you, talk to yourself in a way that feels supportive of you, of whatever you're feeling, of whatever you're going through, understanding, kind, and loving. That's how you want to talk to yourself. Any other voice, that's not worth listening to. Supportive, understanding, kind, and loving. That's what you want to say to yourself. So that's the talk part. Then care. Care, this is where you feel into your needs and then you take care of yourself. So this can mean different things for each one of us, of course. And so the first element of this is to actually start tuning in, as we said earlier, tuning in and start feeling into what your needs actually are. And this will evolve, because the first needs that can come up may be the one that are easier to understand in yourself, the one that you feel are the most accessible for you, safer to experiment with. So your psyche will only give you those. And then once a bit of safety is established, there's going to be more needs that are going to come to the surface. The safer you feel in acknowledging your needs and then expressing them, first and foremost to yourself and then to the rest of the world, the more needs are going to actually come to the surface. So if you feel like there's more and more and more there, because there are, there's tons of stuff that has not been acknowledged within you, tons of needs that have been suppressed for years, and so they will come to the surface in their own time. The practical, very practical thing is to take some time every day to do something that's for yourself, that is to care for you. For example, take some time to do a practice that you know it's going to nourish your body, your mind, your heart. We have tons of practices in the Reclaim Your Fullness online community that are aimed at that, to give that sense of safety and to give a space that is just for you to be with yourself, to connect with yourself, to nourish yourself from the inside, to make you feel like wrapped in a blanket of love. So that can be one thing. Also, food, it's a beautiful way to take care of yourself. And here we're not talking about, of course, comfort eating and all of that. What I'm talking about is a mother nourishes her baby through food. Food, when we can establish, and you may not at this moment have a good relationship with food, because also a lot of a toxic mother can create quite intensely out of balance relationship with food in us as a result. So, but in general, if you can gently allow yourself to choose food that feels healthy for you, that feels nourishing, cook for yourself as opposed to get a heap of processed food, for example. Not because for the shame of processed food is bad for you and you should be healthier and all of that, but because the act of cooking for you is actually an act of mothering yourself. That's what a healthy mother does. It nourishes her child through food. Food is one of it's a very important aspect of healing when we can get to have a healthy relationship with it. So, and then whatever else feels like taking care of yourself. It could be sitting down with a good book. It could be going for a walk. It could be. It's going to be different for each one of us because we all have a different interpretation of what taking care of ourselves means. There's no right or wrong way to go about this, but allowing yourself to do that. Take a nice bath instead of washing in a rush. Whatever that is for you, a nourishing moment every day when you're taking care of yourself. And then play. Play. This is where you start allowing your authentic self-expression to come through. So it's less about taking a lot of it too seriously, as we tend to do a lot, and it is about bringing more playfulness in your life. A mother allows her child to discover themselves through play. That's what a child does. A child that's feeling safe and happy goes on and plays. And by playing, we learn a lot about ourselves. So be playful. For example, we were talking about the clothes and choosing an outfit. Be playful. Don't need to be so serious. Oh, is this going to be okay? Is this going to be appropriate? Is this right? Are the colors matching? Blah, 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 blah. All these rules. Be playful. Do I like it? Does it make me feel good? Is it fun? There you go. And try. Be playful in the kitchen. When you're cooking your meals, be playful. I see my daughters, like both of them actually, they cook a lot and they try combinations sometimes that I would have never, ever tried. And sometimes it comes out in something that we all go, oh my God, that's not very nice at all. But very often, actually, most times, it's amazing what comes out. So play, 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 play. Be playful in allowing yourself to do what you feel, what you felt like was not allowed for you for a long time because of your mother. You know, be playful in that sense. Your mother has probably put a lot of rules, a lot of shoulds and shouldn'ts in your life. What's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Color outside the line a little bit and play. Play, play, play. Allow yourself to play. Nothing that you do today has to be set in stone, incredibly serious stuff, but you can play. And by playing, you allow your authentic self-expression to gently come true. So that's it. Three simple steps on how to reparent yourself, how to reparent your inner child, how to remother yourself. Talk, care, and play. And that's a start. Again, it's internal, and then from there's tons of millions of things you can do, of course. But these three are like the foundations. They're the three pillars from your internal world that are going to have the most impact and ripple effect on your external world. So with that, yeah, if you're interested in knowing more about the practices that are shared in Reclaim Your Fullness online community, the waiting list is open. The next intake is going to be actually at the beginning of August, so we're nearly there. Sign up to the waiting list to be able to join. And yeah, with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week. Send you lots of love. Bye for now.